I guess you get confirmation that you were hearing that now is the time. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up at the end of the message. In this pay year and pay decade, I believe the Lord is releasing fresh and greater measures of His presence in and through those who live in intimate relationship with Him. If you were here for the pre-service time of worship and prayer, there was an intimate manifestation of the Lord's presence in our midst. As many of you are aware, the Hebrew word for face, or the part which turns, is the pay word panim. The letter pay is also the word for the edge of the face or the mouth. So our face and our mouth are pay words, which makes it significant for us. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the Amplified Version reads, "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man would speak to his friend." That's how Father wants to relate with each of us. Many of us can probably relate to when we were over the honeymoon. After the first month of asking Jesus to be our Lord, when the tyranny of urgency and the pressures of time started to eat our precious time with the Lord, and we would throw up a prayer on our way out the door asking Him to bless our day. When He wants face-to-face intimacy with us wherever we are. That's what we were singing about tonight. Children of God carry authority and grace that flows from their personal face-to-face encounters. Moses had a lot of authority. He had a lot of grace. I don't know how you and I would have reacted to a few million people complaining about their dinner, complaining there was no water. He had a lot of grace. When you have a face-to-face, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe, you understand who you are and whose you are. See, many of us understand we're children of God, but we forget that we're His. We like to be called a child of God, but we forget that He's also made you a king. He's also made you an ambassador. We're gender neutral when we're talking about the kingdom. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no separation of male and female. You're going to see that again in a minute. The Lord has always desired intimate face-to-face relationship with His sons and daughters so we can carry His presence and release His voice to redeem all creation back to Him. That's what we just sang about. This great end-time harvest is going to be our voice declaring and decreeing the word of the Lord, and it's going to unlock the shackles that have kept the harvest from being gathered. I have a question for you. When do you think Father first saw your face? Some of you have read your Bible. In Psalm 139, verse 16, if you're looking for the exact address, in the Amplified Bible it reads, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape, even as yet there was none of them." Before this pulpit, before this building, before the earth, He saw your face. And Jesus was reminded of that from the cross. You were already called His, and He gave everything to honor Father to get you back. From eternity past, Father has seen your face, and He's desired to have a face-to-face, personal, and intimate relationship with you so He can rule and reign on the earth through you. See, it's not about COVID-19. It's not about anything else. It's you are a carrier. You carry His glory everywhere you go. And he wants to be able to send you and pour you out. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, in the New American Standard, we read, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." You remember the story, we were unique. We're the only one Father touched. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and you insert the meaning of the Hebrew words that were used here, you begin to understand that Father's DNA has been infused to every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body. So I'm going to reread Genesis 2, 7 with the interpretation of the Hebrew words. "Then the Lord God squeezed into shape or molded into form as a potter would, a ruddy human being showing blood in the face from the red dust-like clay from the soil, and puffed hard into his nose and face the vital breath of life. And the ruddy human being became a living being, breathing creature with a soul." We're the only created thing with a soul. So, some of you have seen this before, but it may have looked like this. Father bent down. He grabbed some of the red clay, and he began to squeeze it into shape. And as he squeezed it into shape, it was probably a person about my size, because I'm the average height of an Israeli. Some were taller, some were shorter, but maybe in the middle. And all of a sudden, all of the angels who are always looking at the Father, they can never look away, started to shout, "Holy, holy, holy." Because that lifeless form laying on the ground looked just like the Father. You're created in his image and likeness. All of us came from Adam. All of us came from God. And then God did something that only the Song of Solomon might portray. He put his left arm and his right arm around the lifeless form, and he did CPR. He breathed life, breath. His DNA went into every cell of Adam. His DNA is in every cell of your body. You have Father's touch. As the angels were watching and Adam began to live, I believe there was a celebration the earth has not seen since. It will be equaled when Jesus returns. Did you ever consider that the Song of Songs of Solomon was all about Father's passion to release his authority once again with an intimate relationship with you? I gave you an assignment last week, I won't ask if you did it, to read the Song of Solomon this week. He is romancing each of us, if we'll take time to listen. All night, that's what he's been singing from heaven, singing over us. Now, this message has a title. You'll get it in a minute. As I was preparing to write this message, I was trying to debate when I should introduce a song to you. Chill. My voice is not good enough to sing it tonight, although I've been singing it all week. When I was 5 years old, a couple days ago, as the story goes, Scottish political singer and songwriter Ewan McCool was asked by folk singer Peggy Seeger. Some of us remember Peggy Seeger. She asked him to write a song for a play that she was in, and McCool wrote the song in the U.S. and taught it to her over the phone in England. Folks on the internet, we're singing this song to you. The song was, "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face." The title of this message is, "The First Time I Saw Your Face." Here's the lyrics that were recorded when I was 5 years old by Peter, Paul, and Mary. Remember the illustration I just did of how the Lord created us from the dust. The first time ever I saw your face, I thought the sun rose in your eyes. The moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the dark and empty skies, my love, to the dark and empty skies. And the first time ever I kissed your mouth, I felt the earth move in my hands. Like the trembling heart of a captive bird that was there at my command, my love, that was there. And the first time ever I held you near and felt your heart so close to mine, and I knew our joy would fill the earth, it would last till the end of time, my love. It would last till the end of time. That is Father's love song over us. His love is everlasting, never ending, all powerful. We like it because it casts out all fear. But he wants an intimate relationship with us. He doesn't want you to go on what portion you got yesterday or what portion you got when you walked into the building. He wants to continually give you more of his love. See, many of us grew up with this song. Singing this song is part of our romantic hopes. It was before I met my bride, but I remember singing this song. But the Father has a hope for his son and daughters very few of us have fulfilled up until now. Because he has made the way through Jesus for us to have an intimate relationship with him. And as of Passover, as of Pentecost last week, there is now a greater manifestation, a greater portion of Holy Spirit present in the earth realm, and it's crescendoing. It's not stagnant. It's continually increasing for whoever will enter in. Let me ask you a question. Were you created in his image and likeness? This side of the room was? How about you on the web? You were created in his image and likeness, and that means his DNA is all over you. Several years ago, when I gave a message, I said, you know, forensic science really has the Father nailed. Every touch leaves a trace. His DNA, every time he touches you, there is a fresh measure of grace in his DNA for you. Every touch leaves a trace. We tend to understand image, Father, Spirit, Son. We can relate to that, spirit, soul, and body. We can relate to image. But we have trouble sometimes with likeness. So let's go back to the beginning. In the Amplified Bible, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth." Everything Father created produces after its own kind. You know, I'm a PhD chemist, so all the geneticists that are trying to do their own creative thing, they better watch out. It's got to create after its own kind. Every generation from Adam until Jesus returns was meant to create with our words. We sang about that tonight. As I've mentioned before, in Hebrew, the first two letters in the Torah are Reshith Elohim. You can go back and look up former messages online. Reshith means the first in place, time, order, or rank. Specifically, it means first fruit. It means beginning, the chief, the first, or the principal thing. Reshith. The second word is Elohim, the plural form, meaning gods, but specifically, it means the supreme God, Father, Spirit, Son. In other words, the first two words that are interpreted in most languages as in the beginning mean the first in rank, order, priority, and time, Father, Spirit, Son. That's what he's trying to tell us. And you were made in his likeness. You were made to occupy that place of first. For 6 days, the scripture tells us, Holy Spirit hovered. And Father spoke and Jesus created. I would have loved to have been in that light show. Did you see the photo on the internet of the bolt of lightning hitting the Washington Monument a couple nights ago? Don't make me come down there. Can you imagine the light show when Father just started speaking these things? Keep that in mind for a couple minutes and then forever. Part of our likeness with God is he put all authority, according to Jesus in Luke 10:19, he's put all authority in you, in the voice of mankind. When heaven kissed the earth and formed Adam, Adam became a living soul and he had all of the authority in heaven. Not going to go down this bunny trail, but you remember who got to name everything that was brought to him? With the words of his mouth, so it is. With the words of your mouth, so it is. But the key is to be in agreement with heaven. One definition, this is for Lisa. One definition of agreement is the absence of incompatibility between two people. The absence of incompatibility between two people, that's agreement. Big word. Here's another definition, incompatibility. The condition of two things being so different in nature, they are incapable of existing together. But God created us in an intimate fellowship with him. He kissed us. And for eternity, he wants us to have that intimate fellowship with him. We're going somewhere with this. Why? So we could rule and reign as his ambassadors in the earth. Through the blood of the cross, we are more than ambassadors. We are his daughters and sons whom Father has given unrestricted access to his presence. Every time we get into worship like we did during intercession tonight, I want to ascend with the angels. As a matter of fact, I am going to go down this bunny trail. He showed me when we were singing that he was going to pick me up and put me out in the parking lot just to tell me he could do it. And you were all going to stand there like this. And then he was going to bring me back. And I said, according to your will, let it be done unto me. So someday if I disappear and come back with a handful of parking lot gravel, you know what happened. I say that jokingly because there's two things I have asked Jesus for me to have personally on the earth before I go to be with him eternally. To see him face to face, just like we're talking about, and to be transported. So I think he's telling me, get ready, son. So how do we manifest his presence on the earth? Through the DNA in your voice. He's already put it there. Father's covenant with you releases his authority into the spheres that he has entrusted you unto the earth. Not just in the assembled congregation, in your marriage, in your family, in your extended family, in your neighborhood, in your communities, in all the places you go to work, play, or go to school. Everywhere. That's his kingdom. And you are to be his ambassadors. So let me ask you a question. Are your decrees conceiving something? We have one yes, we have a couple head nods. They should be bringing breakthrough in your life, your family, your ministry, your business, and in the lives of every person Father asked you to pray for. Did you get that? Sometimes we take a burden that's not His, and we wonder why it never gets answered, and we don't go back to Him and say, Papa, how come you didn't answer that prayer for Al? Was I supposed to pray for Al? If he doesn't say yes, it means no. Now, we're supposed to pray according to 1 Timothy 2, 1, for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. But I'm talking about an intercessory burden where we pour our lives out before the throne. Whoever the Lord calls you to pray for, you have authority to change the situations and circumstances. Do they have authority to ignore it? Yes, but He's given us a grace that most of us don't enter into. Can the Creator of the universe do whatever He wants? Back row says yes, front row says yes. The rest of you, I need to speak louder. The triune God can create any word He speaks. I have trouble with the English language. Can you imagine? There is no language of angels or men He does not know. And whatever He speaks becomes. No word of His is empty. It contains the fullness of life. When you decree God's word, creative forces begin to flow. Even if what is needed does not exist, God's word can create it. Don't have time to go into story upon story, but as a chemist, I created things that I was told was impossible to exist in the earth, but God. Asah, A-S-A-H, is the Hebrew word for execute or furnish. To execute something, not to shoot something, to execute something, to do something, or to furnish. God's word is furnished with power to execute and to bring His word to pass. God's word, when decreed by His daughters or His sons, in alignment with His will. In other words, it's not name it and claim it. It's, I have an intimacy with the Father. He said, speak this, and when I do, Father says, it's finished. When we speak it in alignment with heaven, it becomes what Father meant it to be in the earth. Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. Remember that? We take that too flippantly. God says it will prosper for the thing which He sent it. The primitive root word that Isaiah used for prosper is seleka, meaning to push forward, to break out, to be successful, to be profitable. One of my favorite names for God this year in particular, but in this decade it will be an underlying one, is a pay word. Adonai Paratz. You see it in Micah 2:13. The Lord, the breaker, the Messiah, will go up before you. Adonai Paratz, the breaker. This year is all about us getting in line with Him, speaking the word and watching Him break into places He's never been allowed to come into before. He can go anywhere. He's waiting for you and I to speak an invitation. When you decree God's word, it produces breakthrough to destroy blockages. Get ready, Jessica. That's what your word was all about. It breaks them in the heavens, and it breaks them in the earth. Until your decree is made good. I mean, I'm already at the end of my message in my mind because I'm listening to what was sung over us in worship. So I'm trying to stay focused because I want to get to the end. When you decree a word, it produces that breakthrough that destroys the blockages, and your decrees are successful. Well, I didn't see anything happen. Don't let the enemy whisper doubt and unbelief to you. Did God tell you to say it? Yes. Did you say it? Yes. Jesus said, it is finished. Heaven and earth have come into agreement. Your decrees yield and release Father's creative abilities. Did you know you have Father's creative abilities in you? Why do we labor so hard? I guess because Solomon said it's all vanity. We have this promise. When we stand in faith and decree what God says, refusing to back off or abandon the word seed that Holy Spirit gave us, when we water that seed word with our faith, in other words, we don't just plant it and say, well, I hope so, Lord. That was part of our presbytery in 1986. Well, I hope so, Lord. It was an exhortation to believe when you speak something. Our prayers, our praise, our confession all water that seed that was there. It activates the angels who have been waiting to see what Father's going to do, just like they did when he made Adam, who laid there motionless. See, it's your voice that releases the activation on that seed. When we put our steadfast trust, that seed will produce after its kind. It becomes what it is or what it describes. That word we spoke now becomes what Father intended it to be. That's why last fall when we were entering this year, I said, if you can't say anything in alignment with God or good, zip it. Because your enemy is waiting to pounce on your words, just like the angels are waiting to promote your word to life. Never give up on a word you decree. As I was writing this, I was thinking of Winston Churchill. Never, never, never give up. Never give up on God's word. Well, I've read the Bible every year for the last 50 years. Never give up. Most of us get to the precipice of breakthrough and we stop. And the angels gasp. Because the Father said, as soon as they take that next step, you got to go and fulfill their word. Never give up. Do not negate the word God gave you. Well, I think it was really for someone else and I didn't have any right to really believe you wanted to speak to me. Never negate the word God gave you. We are supposed to make decrees to break hell's grip off of the earth. We're going to do that in a couple minutes. You can bring God's promises to fullness in the earth realm. That's our responsibility. That's why Jesus said you can call those things into the earth realm on earth just like they are in heaven. You can forbid the things darkness is trying to place in the earth. Some of you remember Deaconess Pauline when she exhorted the body concerning the prophetic words the congregation had received over the years, prophetic promises that this house has received, to push, pray until something happens. That was a revelation of watering that seed, that word that was spoken over Shepherd's heart, and in some cases, the body of Christ in the region. Never give up. God is waiting for us to activate his prophetic promises by our faith. I love the fact that during worship, some of you literally started to do this when Freddie was singing over us to dust off the word. We literally started shaking it off. I couldn't get my mic on fast enough to tell you to step out and do that. All of those things the enemy has made dust. Remember, for the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. He's moving quickly. A year for you and me is only 1.44 minutes for him. There's not much dust settling on his word from his perspective. So, as God's sons and daughters, we ought to expect to reap abundant life that the Word of God describes to us. Don't raise your hands, but I'd be willing to say none of us in the room are truly living the abundant life, spirit, soul, and body, and physically, financially, that the Lord has promised us. But he meant it when he said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. What does that mean? It means that you stop the one who came to steal. You stop the one who came to destroy. You can't stop the one who came to kill. And then you start speaking the abundant life in its place. It's all in John 10:10. All in one verse. The enemy's going to try and stop you. And every day you have to say, not on my watch. So when we decree a thing, here's five things we should expect. We should expect that God's words we decree will produce after their kind. So instead of, oh, whatever you would normally say, oh, glory. Oh, goodness and mercy follow after me. Make sure you are in agreement with heaven, not with the thing the enemy just threw in your face. We should expect the word of promise to come to pass no matter what it is. You remember the testimony of our daughter. It was 24 and a half years in earth time from the time the Lord spoke the word that he'd be a mighty God and hearing our cry to the time he saved her life in an accident. What are you going to speak? We rehearsed that word for 24 and a half years. Not every day, not all the time, but we kept reminding him. Those of you who are parents know your kids will bring you to the place of, is this what you meant, Lord? Is this what you meant, Lord? No, it wasn't that. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't the bicycle accident. It wasn't running the tractor up the side of the barn. It wasn't. These are all real stuff that parents sometimes have to endure. But when it was in the moment that Father had seen when he spoke it and we agreed, he moved and instantly saved her life. We should expect the words we decree will become fruitful and multiply. I speak over every offering anywhere in the world I sow. I speak multiplication and increase. If he gives me a number, I'll speak that number over it. I speak 1,000% return. That's biblical if you study the story of the minas that Jesus taught. I speak over the offering that seed will produce for kingdom glory whatever Father wants it to produce. I speak it over your sons and daughters. I speak it over all of you that are part of this fellowship every day. Oops, you just heard part of my prayer. We should expect God's word of healing that we decree will produce the fruit of healing. Does the scripture say Jesus healed some of them? A couple of them? All of them. Whoever he puts on your heart to heal and you speak that word, guess what? The last thing Jesus said on the cross was, it is finished. Completed, done. Just like we sang tonight, when we agree with heaven, it happens. And then five, we should expect his word we decree on good success to bear the fruit of success. Too many of us decree that we will be successful. I hope so. Maybe. Well, maybe by the time I retire. Success has nothing to do with retirement. It has everything to do with being aligned with the King of Glory. Just as Moses was transformed in his face-to-face encounters with God, you know, that's why we're all going to have to wear face masks. Because we're going to have so much glory in us from these face-to-face encounters. I see the back row putting theirs on. He had to cover his face so the people wouldn't get freaked out. Don't you want that kind of glory?
Yeah.
Some people say it's because I've lost my hair. We need to have his glory. Just like Moses had to cover his face, Father is looking for a personal face-to-face relationship with you. Many of you have heard me teach on Numbers chapter 6 and the blessing that the Lord said for Moses to tell Aaron to speak over all the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I'm not going to teach the whole message, but in the last one, the Lord turn his face toward you, panim, pay, so that you know you're looking in his eyes and you have his ears when you're speaking to him, and give you shalom. Shalom literally means salvation, provision, protection, and peace. When Father's looking at you face to face, that's what you've got. His presence, shalom. As I was finishing preparing this message before all the COVID craziness took place, I heard the Lord speak this about you. Can I have the worship team come back up? The first time I saw your face, I saw you in a face-to-face conversation with me, soaking up the light of my glory, turning to face the dark world, and speaking into the darkness, and turning again to commune with me. That's the relationship Father wants to have with us. Amen? Let's stand up. We're going to pray, but we're going to war out of this. Has some stuff been happening in Rochester, Monroe County, New York State, the United States of America, and the nations of the earth in the last 10 days? We have authority over that. It is not an us and them issue. It's a darkness versus kingdom of God issue. Yes, people are caught up in it. Yes, the Lord is going to set us all free from it. But we've got authority to do things. So let's stand and pray, and then you guys can start. And I'm just going to war prayer out of whatever it is you're playing. This is not a sweet la-la time. This is where you took us in the prayer time before service. I'm sitting there, yes! Open the gates so the King of Glory can come in. Father, these are your sons and daughters, created in your image and likeness. Your DNA is all over us, Lord. And I say tonight, let your DNA again stir each of us to a place of believing your word and taking authority over everything that has denied your word or exalts itself against you. Father, I ask you to give my brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, more of your spirit and gift of discernment so they would know whether they're fighting the flesh, they're fighting your enemies, or they are hearing from you. I ask you to give them words of knowledge so that with an Issachar anointing, they will know when to war and when to wait for your angels to go before them. Father, I ask you to give them the gift of the word of wisdom so that they will hear from you and speak into existence that solid platform, even over water, they can walk on and do the miraculous. Father, I ask you tonight to release to everyone who hears this message your gift of the working of miracles, so the Antichrist spirit which is confronting them will be vanquished every time it raises its head. And Father, I ask you to show my brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters, that intimate place with you that never leaves. When they leave their prayer room, Lord, they will have that place with you. When they come back, they will have that place with you. Father, we desire greater intimacy so that your spirit is always leading us. Your word is always activated through us, and your angels respond to your word on earth just like they do in heaven. In Jesus' name. Many of you know that last night we had the strawberry moon. That's the full moon in June in New York State over the strawberry harvest. Has nothing to do with its color. It's just a name so you can sell some cards. But with it were aligned Saturn and Jupiter and Pluto. You couldn't see Pluto because it's so small. And many of you know that the witches and the warlocks have been releasing curses, and the Satanists have been releasing curse structures to try and steal the freedoms that our forefathers in this nation died for. Anarchy, socialism, and any other ism you want to call it, humanism is behind it all. Every Antichrist force. But you have authority. So you can agree with me. You can stand there. You can pray the way the Lord shows you to pray. Let me just tell you quickly that the fourth watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is for us to undo everything that was done in the second and third watches from 9 to midnight and midnight to 3 a.m. That's the worst warlock spiritual warfare time of every day. From 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., we get to awaken the dawn. We get to speak with our words what the platform is going to be for our lives, our marriage, our family, our city, our town, our state, our nation. Do you know, if everyone who believed the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God would do this, He'd be coming back real soon, because we'd be gathering the harvest that's waiting for him. I think we sang about that tonight too. So, we say to those powers of darkness that have lied, have twisted, distorted, and blown a smoke screen over this region, over this state, and over this nation, you are defeated by the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. You have been forbidden in heaven, and we forbid you now in the earth realm. You were not permitted to operate in the throne room when Jesus cast you out. And we forbid you to operate in the earth realm now, where Jesus has redeemed our authority over you through the blood of his cross. Father, we say, stretch forth your mighty right arm. Send Michael and every host of heaven that you have created for such a time as this to expose, to thwart, and to destroy every demonically inspired plot and scheme set to try and change time, seasons, laws, and boundaries against the Constitution of the United States of America, against the body of Christ in the United States of America, against the kingdom of God moving forward in the United States of America. Lord, we say, do that in this month in which you are expanding our boundaries. Expand them now. We say to Albany, New York, bow your knee before the King of Glory. We say the gates were open during worship tonight. King of Glory, come through those gates. We say to the demonic principalities and powers that are trying to control Washington, D.C. and every state capital, bow your knee, for you are now condemned in the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take back those words that you have clung to and put them under the blood of his cross. And we say, you have been forbidden in heaven. You shall not work works of darkness in the earth. Yes. Father, we say, you have weapons in your word that we haven't learned how to use yet, but we say, pour out the blood of the Lamb and the lightning of heaven upon every coven of witches, every coven of warlocks, every coven of Satanists, and expose them and destroy every one of their familiar objects and demonic forces that they bow down to. We say, angels of the Most High God, we forbid those angels of demons in Monroe County, in Lake Ontario, in Albany, in New York City, in the United States. They have been forbidden in heaven, and we say, take them away now to where Father would have them banished. Father, in their place, We ask you to bring to life now those angels that you have held in reserve for such a time as this. Father, every angel that you prophesied, every principality of righteousness, peace, and joy that you said you were releasing, the healing angels to work with your sons and daughters, the deliverance angels, the miracle-working angels, Father, bring them in now. And Holy Spirit, we say, in the place where darkness once was, hover, hover, hover over this nation, hover over North America like you did on the day it was created eons ago. Hover so that your glory now becomes the mantle upon your sons and daughters. Hover so that what was to be now will be. We say the word of God is fruitful, and it is being broken open tonight. We speak shalom into the places where the voice of peaceful demonstration has been kidnapped. We speak to that spirit of detraction behind anarchy. You are forbidden in heaven, and we forbid you in the United States of America. Detraction, you are judged in the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ, and you have been found wanted. And we say to the angels of God, take that thing away, and in its place, pour out the peace which passes all understanding. Pour out peace like a river. Pour out increases of peace through your sons and daughters, that as each of us begin to speak peace over situations and circumstances, we will see the peace of your presence bring calm and rational thinking into the place where there was once confusion and chaos. Father, we say, let your kingdom come now. We say, Lord, every one of your sons and daughters is a gate. And we say to those gates, lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, ancient doors, so the King of Glory will come in wherever he has called you to walk, even South Carolina. Oh. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the region gets together to do this? When the tribes and the tongues and the nations come together as Father has ordained. Do you have something back there? Father, we send your sons and daughters with the heartbeat of heaven, with the clap of thunder, with the dance of Romans 16:20, crushing Satan under their feet. We send your sons and daughters as ambassadors of righteousness, peace, and joy with the authoritative word of grace in their mouth to slay darkness, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, principalities, and powers, and to announce your kingdom at hand. I send you to prosper and bear great glorious, delicious fruit in Jesus' name. I love you all. Have a blessed week. We send this sound to the north, to the east, to the south, and to the west. We send it across New York State. We send it across the United States of America, even to Hawaii and Alaska. We send it across Canada. We send it across Mexico and Central America. We say, North America, be reformed in the image and the likeness of the one who created you. We say, liberty is your portion. Keep singing this.
He's releasing angels.
Keep singing this. We're going to let the world hear.
I'm blowing liberty. multitude of sins in this nation. My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love, my love, my love, my love, my love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins.
My love will cover.
I just saw, when we speak, I saw light and love going out of our mouths. When we agree with heaven, I saw light and love going out of our mouths. People aren't going to understand it, but there's going to be bursts of light. There's going to be releases of love that are going to unlock hardened hearts. The answer is what we just sang. Releasing His love. It was like lightning bursts coming out of your mouth. Light and love.
My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover multitude of sins. My love will cover. Oh, oh, my love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins. My love will cover a multitude of sins.
My love will cover.
Speak freedom, Lord. Oh, we agree with you, Lord. Oh, you'll do the impossible. Oh, we'll see with your eyes. Oh, love will cover a multitude of sin. My love
will cover
a multitude of sin. My
love will cover
a multitude of sin. My love
will cover.
Oh. Freddie, I see the Lord waking you in the middle of the night, and He's giving you new songs. Songs that haven't been written, songs that haven't been performed, but songs that are being released from heaven through chosen vessels, and you're one of them. He's going to release songs in the night that are meant to be released in the night. They're like harpoons, spears coming out of the throne room of the Lord and scattering darkness. But then there's an intimate love song that follows after it. And after the enemy has been defeated, there's a romance coming out of heaven to gather those who had been held in the claws of those issues. They didn't know how to get out. But the Lord's going to start raising minstrels in the middle of the night, and He showed me that you're one of them. And you're going to begin to sing new songs that war, and then release new songs that heal and set free. They will become songs that are written. But the first time you hear them, it will tear down principalities. It will blow a hole in the network of darkness that has held people groups captive. Don't be surprised if He wakes you with a people group you don't even know, even some small groups that exist in the middle of the state that you've never heard of. He's going to have you singing over them so that they hear Him singing over them. and he's going to bring a breaker anointing upon the words that he gives you. And then everybody who sings them thereafter will enter into that anointing with which he released it through you.